شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم My respected ulama, elders and friends, during the battle of Uhud, a person by the name of Jabbar ibn Salma, fighting on the side of the kuffar, lifted his sword upon the neck of a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Haram ibn Mihran radiyallahu ta'ala an. As Jabbar began to penetrate his sword through the body of this sahabi, and as the sahabi began to fall to the ground, knowing full well that these are the last moments of his life, he knew very well that after this I will not witness this mortal world. He realized and he had understood, now I am leaving this world. And as he falls to the ground, as he breathes his last, he begins to utter the words, Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'bah. I have gained success. Qasam of the Rabb, Qasam of the sustainer of the Kaaba. This person, Jabbar, was astounded by this entire scene. He realizes here is a man lying who knew now that his children are becoming widows, orphans. His wives are going to become widows. He realizes that he is going to be no more in this world. And this is what he calls success. This was beyond the imagination of Jabbar. He takes his sword, he puts it back into his sheath, and he goes in search of the Sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bearing in mind around him a battle is taking place. Swords are striking against swords. Spears and arrows are penetrating and piercing the bodies of individuals. And he goes and he searches for some Sahaba, some Muslims. And he begins to inquire from them that after all, what is this? Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum begin to explain to him that, O Jabbar, we in this life, after accepting the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after testifying to the nubuwat of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have realized that success is not in the acquisition of materialism. It is not in academic achievements. Success does not lie in the temporary pleasures of this material world. But our success and our true success and the criteria of all success are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. That person who has been saved from the fire of Jahannam, and he is granted entrance into Jannah, then such a person has really and truly been successful. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the ridwan, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the greatest of all achievements, and that is the real fawz, the real and true success. On this person Jabbar, who had just struck and made a mu'min shaheed, pronounces the shahadat, the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he becomes a believer. Respected and dear friends, these types of incidences in the lives of Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum are too many to mention. That Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum had understood and realized that each and every individual has to leave this material world. They had realized that a person's time is that time which has been appointed by Allah Jalla Shanuhu. And of course, the best mouth, the best death is the death of Shahadat. Sahaba had understood that if there is success, there will be success in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gains dominance on this earth, and when they leave this world with the martyrdom and the death of Shahadat, then a Sahabi has understood and realized, Fustu, I have been successful. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was an Ansari Sahabi. Not only was he an Ansari, but he was amongst the leaders of Madinah Munawwara before the hijrat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the battle of Ahzab, which we famously know as the battle of the trench, we understand that with the mashwara of Hazrat Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala an, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded that a trench be dug to keep the kuffar away from the Muslims. And in general, we read in the kitabs of Islamic history that no battle had ensued. However, there were some skirmishes that had taken place between the kuffar and the Muslims. In one of these skirmishes, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was injured. It comes in the riwayat that as the blood oozed out of his body, Hazrat Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu lifts his hands and makes dua to Allah. His dua was, O Allah, if there is any battle that will ensue between the Muslims and the Kuffar, the Quraysh of Makkah, then keep me alive and let me fight those enemies of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had hurt, harmed and tormented him, those who had sworn and mocked him, and those who had removed him from his home in Makkah Mukarramah. And if in your knowledge there is no battle after this that will take place between us and them, then let me leave this world. Grant me a death of Shahadat because of this wound. The blood oozing out, this Sahabi is not concerned about the loss of blood. This Sahabi is not concerned about seeking medical or first aid help. But this Sahabi is concerned about two things, the dominance of deen, and he is concerned about his mouth on Shahadat. It comes in the riwayat, a very lengthy hadith. The synopsis of this hadith goes that after the battle of Trench, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes back to Medina Munawwara. At that time, the Banu Qurayza, a Jewish tribe, a Jewish clan, broke the peace treaty with Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was removing his armor. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam comes and he informs Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you are removing your armor whilst the malaika have still their armors on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understands this ishara and he asked, O Jibreel, what is Allah's hukam? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam responds, he says that now you go and check the Banu Qurayza. In the meantime, Hazrat Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is wounded. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam orders that a tent be placed in Masjid al-Nabawi, like how we have at the time of Itikaf. And Hazrat Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh was given that place to stay. In brief, a few days later, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes into Masjid al-Nabawi. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes with the wahi, or rather questions him, ki, O Nabi of Allah, who is leaving this world at this time? Whose mouth is at his doorstep? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks towards Hazrat Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he sees Hazrat Sa'ad in Sakarat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself hastens. He goes to Hazrat Sa'ad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He takes his head and he places it on his Mubarak lap. In one riwayat it is stated that some Sahaba felt that because the blood was oozing out, it is not befitting that the Nabi of Allah mess his clothes with the blood of Hazrat Sa'ad. They requested khidmatan, in order to make khidmat of Allah's Nabi, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, allow us to keep his head. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam does not allow them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes talqeen. He reads the kalima, and in this way Hazrat Sa'ad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu leaves the world. What greater honor, what greater sharaf can a human have than leaving this world on the lap of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Over and above that, in one riwayat it is stated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began to shake because of the khabar, the news of the mouth of Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala an. Some sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala an who said, we had never heard of the arsh of Allah shaking at the mouth of any individual but of Hazrat Sa'ad radiyallahu ta'ala an. There is one announcement. The driver of ND89767, it is an Audi, would you please remove your car? Thereafter, Hazrat Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins to hasten the Sahaba, and he begins to tell them, let us hasten with the ghusl and the kafan of Hazrat Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh. One Sahabi narrates that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hastening, and then he began to explain that if we do not hasten with his ghusl, then perhaps we will lose the ghusl, the opportunity of performing his ghusl, like how we had lost the opportunity of performing the ghusl of Hazrat Hanzila radiyallahu ta'ala an, ghasirul malaika, that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam and the malaika made his ghusl. In one riwayat it is stated that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had walked whilst he was preparing the ghusl and the kafan of Hazrat Sa'ad as though he was walking through a crowd. When Sahaba began to inquire, there is not very many people here, why are you walking so squeezed? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam replied, there are 70,000 angels that have come down to witness the ghusl, kafan, janaza and dafan of Hazrat Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala an. Respected and dear friends, that is shahadat in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So blessed and so beloved is shahadat in the eyes of Allah Rabbul Izzat, that Allah Ta'ala himself says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. They do not say that those who died in the path of Allah, that they are, in our terminology, in our colloquial language, they are dead and gone. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. Nay, they are alive. And how they are alive, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, you will not understand. To have a faint understanding of the life that Allah has granted to the shuhada, to the martyrs. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh has narrated in his Mu'atta a hadith that two sahaba had become shaheed at the time of Uhud. Hazrat Amr ibn Jamhu and Abdul Rahman ibn Amr, both were Ansari sahaba. Both died, both became shaheed in the battle of Uhud, and they were buried also in Uhud. And as a matter of fact, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi states that they were buried in the same qabr. Some years later, a flood had come about, and because of that flood, the water entered the qabr of these sahaba, and this qabr was opened. At that particular time, sahaba made mashura, and in one riwayat, the great mufassir, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, decreed that these sahabi, their body should be exhumed and they should be reburied. It comes in the riwayat that when the bodies of these sahaba were removed from their qabr, one sahabi from the two had his hand on a wound which he had sustained at the time of the battle. The people at that time removed that hand to put it into its place, and the blood began to ooze out as fresh blood oozes out from a living being. Sahaba take qasam. The Rawi, the narrator, takes qasam that when we saw the bodies of these two sahaba, these two martyrs of Islam, it was as though they had died yesterday. Thereafter, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi narrates that it was 46 years that had passed from the time of Uhud till this incident. So can we now understand that bal ahya'un, that they are alive by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walakin la tash'urun. Many incidences have been written in the kitabs of history that these type of incidences took place once in Iraq. It took place once in Turkey, that the bodies of sahaba were exhumed. In the story of the one in Iraq, that a non-Muslim had witnessed the eye of the sahabi, and when he had seen the sparkle in the eye, as though the eye is of the eye of a living person, a kafir brings iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected and dear friends, shahadat is such a desired thing that our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, in one hadith, he states that I desire that I am given life, and then I fight in the path of Allah, and then I am given the death of shahadat. And then again I am given life, and again I go out in the path of Allah and I fight, and again I die a shaheed. And the same thing again, I am given life, and I go out in the path of Allah, I fight, and I am given shahadat. Shurrah, the muhaddithin have stated that in this hadith it seems as though Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us a direct message that there is no life but the life of a mujahid. There is no death but the death of shahadat. This was the tamanna of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By and large, most of the desires of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fulfilled by Allah Rabbul Izzat. We find that when he wanted the Qibla to be changed from Masjidul Aqsa towards Kaabatullah, in the most beloved terms Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, certainly we had observed you turn your face towards the sky. It comes in a riwayat that as he would perform his salat, in this ummi that Jibreel alayhi salam will come with a command that now turn towards Kaabatullah, make Kaaba your qibla. Nabi alayhi salat was salam turning his face. With this ummi, Allah Rabbul Izzat remembers it with muhabbat that, oh my beloved Nabi, we had observed you. Fawalli wajhaka shatr al masjid al haram. Now turn your face towards Kaabatullah. We find, even regarding his ummat, at the time of Hajjatul Wada, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua at Arafat for the forgiveness of the sins of the ummat. The hukukullah, Allah Rabbul Izzat grants that dua. He makes dua of hukukul ibad. That dua Allah Ta'ala does not at that time accept, but he accepts it in Muzdalifah. So the desire of Nabi alayhi salat wa salam and all the Anbiya alayhi salat wa salam were by and large fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But regarding this particular khayish, this particular desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of shahadat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not fulfill directly. Allah ta'ala revealed an ayat in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Oh my beloved Mahbub, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved you from mankind. In other words, no human will be able to take your life. Mufassirin have explained that if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to die at the hands, the sword or the spear of any kafir, then it would have been a very great triumph for kufr. Whilst Allah Ta'ala says, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله, that Allah had sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with hidayat so that he could make the deen of Allah predominant over every other deen. So Allah would not allow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to die at the hands of any kafir. But then this tamanna, this desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our ulama have explained, Allah Rabbul Izzat had fulfilled in a very unique, in a very strange manner. That bearing in mind that shahadat very broadly of two categories. One is a haqiqi shahadat. One is a shahadat in reality when a person is injured, wound and he dies on the battlefield. Then there are many other types of shahadat. Like if a person dies from stomach ailments, etc., then such a person dies the death of shahadat as in the hadith. That is known as shahadati hukmi. That is in the hukam, in the law, it shares the same law of that of the shahadati haqiqi. As far as the fadilat is concerned, as far as the virtue is concerned. However, in masail there may be some differences. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's progeny spreaded, and it spreads till this day and till the day of Qiyamah via his two beloved grandsons, Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the sons of Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a very great attachment to his grandsons. Just to give you an idea, once he was on the minbar, he is giving a bayan, and he sees Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu enter. Allah's Nabi becomes majboor. His love forces him to stop the bayan, and he comes down the minbar, and he reads the ayat of the Quran, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً, that verily, your amwal, your wealth and your children are tests. And he goes and he brings Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu with him on the minbar. Like that, very many qissas have been narrated of his profound love for his offspring. Over and above his love for Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Ibn Kathir and other muhaddithin have narrated this hadith, that Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu once stated that as far as Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is concerned, he resembled Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his chest up to his head. In other words, Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a replica of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the upper part of his body. And he says, wa amma al-Husayn, as far as Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu was concerned, wa min asfal, he had the mushabahat, the resemblance of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the chest downwards. So if you looked at Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that as far as the resemblance were concerned, if you put them together, they resembled Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And bearing in mind that shahadat were of two types, Allah Rabbul Izzat fulfilled the desire of shahadat in the shahadati hukmi in Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in this aspect that Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi in his kitab Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya has narrated that Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was poisoned to death. To this extent it is narrated in the hadith, just for us to understand that at the time when he was on his deathbed, he made it clear that he had been given poison to drink. Hazrat Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to him and he pleads with him, "Oh my brother, tell me, who is that person that poisoned you?" Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu does not take that person's name and he says that Allah will take the best badla. There are some narrations that indicate it was his wife and others, but the narrator or the kitab in which these ahadith have been narrated, Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya, the author Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi has made it very clear that these narrations do not seem to be authentic. But this much we do understand, that his death or the cause of his death was poison which affected his liver and he left this material world. He resembled Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the top part of his body. Allah Rabbul Izzat kept large of that part of his body, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed that poison to affect his liver and the bottom part of his body and leave this world. On the other hand, Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was called to Kufa by the Kufis or by the Sabais. Abdullah bin Sabah was a person, he was a Jew. He accepted Islam. According to some narrations, he came to Medina Munawwara and he accepted Islam at the hands of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Whatever the case may be, his explicit intention was to destroy Islam from within. He continued this pursuit of his to this extent that he succeeded to have Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu martyred, to create bay wafai, unfaithfulness with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There was also an attempt to create the same unfaithfulness with Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then with Hazrat Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That these sabais began to write letters to Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that it comes in a narration up to 600 letters reach Medina in a single day inviting him towards Kufa. A plot and a plan. Nonetheless, when he is on his way to Kufa, when he is surrounded by the Sabais, he pleaded with them and he asked them to give him one of three options. Either allow me to go to the border of the Islamic Hukumat so that I may fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or allow me to go back to Medina Munawwara or Makkah Mukarrama so that there I can make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or if not, then allow me to proceed to Damascus so that I can make peace with Yazid and sort my matters out with him. They did not allow him. And respected and dear friends, we know the qissa, the tents were burnt, the water was stopped, the children were assassinated, they were killed, the women were killed, and eventually Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also made shaheed and his head was beheaded. Again, his resemblance of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was from the bottom part of his body. Allah kept large of the resemblance of his Nabi, and Allah allowed him to get the shahadat, the haqiqi shahadat, on the battlefield. Allah fulfilled this tamanna of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My respected and dear friends, in all these qissas, in all these incidences, we understand that shahadat in Islam is something that is matloob. It is something that is desired, desired to be acquired, and it should be acquired by each and every ummati of Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To this extent, there is a hadith in Mishkat Sharif. Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man mata walam yaghzu walam yuhaddith bihi nafsahu mata ala shu'batin min nifaq," aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa taslim. That person who dies, walam yaghzu, and he has never taken part in jihad, he has never gone onto the battlefield and fought, walam yuhaddith bihi nafsahu, and he has not spoken to himself about jihad. In other words, he had not made the intention and the niyat of fighting in the path of Allah. Some ulama of hadith have stated that this intention and niyat is some form of preparation for jihad. Then mata ala shu'batin min nifaq, he will die on a branch of hypocrisy. Let us try and save ourselves from hypocrisy. And here in this Mubarak majlis, in the house of Allah Rabbul Izzat, let each one of us make this irada and intention that inshallah when the time comes, we will fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without any excuses, without any philosophical, logical proofs, that on the basis of this hadith, for the love of deen, for the love of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When these are the hadiths in front of us, then we understand that to mourn the death of any shaheed is not part of our deen. And if there is any mourning of any shaheed, then we will find that the people around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu wajhahu, the very many sahaba around Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his uncle Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had become a shaheed in a battlefield, in the battle of Uhud. Regarding Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala an, after he was killed by Wahshi, obviously who became a mu'min, a believer thereafter, and Hinda, the wife of Abu Sufyan, had her body, his body mutilated, and she chewed his intestines, and his body was mutilated to such an extent that his body was beyond recognition. After a while, Wahshi accepts the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes in one riwayat also of Mishkat Sharif, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is no one to mourn the death of Hazrat Hamza. So mourning the death of Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, what does this really mean? We find in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that keep away from mourning. There are two types of mourn or of grief when one is bereaved with the death of someone. One is the mourning of the heart and that of the eyes. That when somebody dies close to us and our hearts feel that grief, and because of that grief the tears flow down our eyes, then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that is from in Allah, it is from Allah. But if the mourning is with the hands and the tongue of an individual, in other words, a person begins to scream and a person begins to hit himself and he begins to do all sorts of things, then that is from in a shaitan, it is from the shaitan. In a kitab that has been written by a Shia, Malla Yahfiruhul Faqih, the author has quoted a hadith of Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayh from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who has stated that when I leave this world, then none of you should mourn for me. Now if this is the condition, and if these traditions are sahih, then we will understand that that mourning that takes place at the time of Muharram, that mourning that takes place on the day of Ashura, is not part of our Shariat and our Deen. To this extent, in a kitab Furu'ul Kafi, the author has narrated, is also a Shia kitab, that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu has prohibited a person from wearing black at the time of the death of an individual. So we find that these were the people of Deen, and they had given us these explicit instructions that on the occasions of death, be it the death of Shahadat, be it any form of death, we should not lose ourselves and do as the kuffars and the pagans had done before the time of Islam. Nonetheless, Wahshi accepted the deen of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And a lesson that we all learn, that after he killed the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Hazrat Hamza had become a shaheed, Wahshi makes tawbah. He accepts the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He comes in the majlis of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses him with great muhabbat, great kindness, and he says, "O Wahshi, do not sit in front of me in the majlis. In other words, do not show me your face. I have no problem with you. But when I see your face, I begin to think of Hamza, my uncle." So Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had felt it in his heart. Hazrat Wahshi himself narrates that at that time I made this irada, that when I was the worst of mankind, I had killed and made shaheed the best of mankind, the uncle of Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When I was a kafir, I killed a believer. Now that I am the best of mankind, now that I have iman, I make this irada, I make this intention, that I will kill the worst of enemies of Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It comes in a riwayat, at the time when Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on his last, a person by the name of Musaylama began to claim to be a Nabi of Allah. And that imposter, after the death, the demise of Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began openly claiming to people that he is the Nabi of Allah. Siddiqui Akbar, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had waged jihad against him in the battle of Yamama. Very many great people, great sahaba, great huffaz became shaheed in this battle. It is narrated in one riwayat that it was Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu whose arrow was shot in the direction of this person Musaylama. Whether it was his arrow that actually killed Musaylama or someone else's arrow, there seems to be a difference of opinion. But respected and dear friends, Allah brought him to that point that when he had this irada e khair, when he had this intention to do good in his heart, Allah brought him and Allah showed him that day that the worst enemy of a Nabi is a person who claims to be an imposter. Especially after the nubuwat of Khatamun Nabiyyin sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah showed him that day, Allah gave him the mawqa, Allah showed him the face of Musaylama, and Allah afforded him that opportunity to shoot his arrow in the direction of Musaylama. We learn the most important lesson of our lives, that we as ummatis of Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should also have this irada, the desires of fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have these desires in our hearts of serving the deen of Allah Rabbul Izzat in whichever way, in whatever way. And let us take our inspiration from Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. My respected and dear friends, the month of Muharram, as far as the month in itself is concerned, even before Islam, Muharram was an Islamic month according to the Arabs also. And it was also the first month of their calendar. Thereafter, At the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, when the hijrat became the hallmark of Islam, Muharram remained the first month of the Islamic calendar. And Muharram, as its word, its name also suggests, means something that is sacred. One reason of its sacredness was that it is regarded as one of the months in which the battle in the Kuffar, the time of the Kuffar, was not permissible, and at the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also. Besides this, the month of Muharram has no special attachments to it. This phenomena and these ideas that the month of Muharram is a month in which there are evil omens, it is, so we say, it is a month of bad luck, we should not have nikahs in this month, respected and dear friends, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he saw the new moon for every month, he made dua of barakat, he made dua of iman, Islam and salamat. And the first of these months are the months of Muharram. So each month, if we make the appropriate dua at the time of seeing the moon, if we fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there can be no evil omen in any aspect of our deen. The second aspect of the month of Muharram is Yawmul Ashura, the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. We have heard time and time before also that the greatness and the auspiciousness and the sacredness of Ashura was not gained because of the incident of Karbala. Karbala took place some decades after Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam's departure from this world. In his life, Hazrat Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the incident of Karbala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam had informed us of the auspiciousness of the day of Ashura. Like for example, that Allah Rabbul Izzat had given najat to Anbiya alayhi salatu wasallam on this day. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasallam's ark, for example, that ark was built in Kufa in Iraq. And then when Allah's command had come, when the rains began to fall and the floods began to come, the ark of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded by Allah Rabbul Izzat to move in the direction of Makkah Mukarramah. Day after, this ark comes to Makkah Mukarramah, and by the hukam and command of Allah, the Kaaba was lifted because of the floods. The ark of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam makes 7 circuits around the place of the Kaaba. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and his people made tawaf in this manner. The rains are pouring. From all sides there is water coming. And Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam makes tawaf. And then thereafter Allah ta'ala commands that ark to move in the direction of Mount Judi. And when the ark reaches Mount Judi, or in English Mount Judith, that was the day of the 10th of Muharram. So respected and dear friends, this is the day when Allah had chosen for the najat of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. There can be no evil omens in this. There can be no bad luck in this. Where is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is the power of Allah and all these ill fortunes and ill lucks that we speak about? My respected and dear friends, we are the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Rabbul Izzat himself, وَهُدُوا إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ وَهُدُوا إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْحَمِيدِ. Allah Rabbul Izzat himself says that we had been guided to the qawl al-tayyib, to the most beautiful of words, the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We, the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we had been guided to the most beautiful of words, the Quran Kareem. Allah Rabbul Izzat had guided us. We had not asked for this iman. Allah had given us this iman. وَهُدُوا إِلَىٰ صِرَاطِ الْحَمِيدِ. And they had been guided to the path of the most praiseworthy, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah had guided us, and Allah has given us this most beautiful deen, let us try and practice our deen in pristine purity. That on this day of Ashura, the amal that Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us is that we keep roza, we fast. And this roza also, we look into the riwayat, was the first roza of Islam. It was the time when this roza of Ashura was a farz roza. Day after, Allah abrogated this roza. And Allah made the roza of the month of Ramadan farz upon the ummah. To elaborate a little, that at that time also, the roza of the month of Ramadan was such that a person will make iftar at the time of Maghrib. And no sooner does he go off to sleep, the next day's roza had begun. There was no sehri. To this extent, that one sahabi, who was a person in agriculture and irrigation, he goes out to his land, to his farm, he works the entire day, and he comes back home that night. There was no food, there was no money in his home. Hence his wife could not prepare anything for iftar. This sahabi comes, and he had brought a little money that he had earned for the day, and he gives his wife. This was the life of sahaba. She hastily goes out to the marketplace to purchase some food so that she could give her husband. He, because of his exhaustion, a hard day's work, this sahabi goes off to sleep. When the wife comes home, a sahabiya is a sahabiya. She understood that now it is no sense that I get him up, because his next day's roza had started. Uhilla lakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he sees this, and he comes in a riwayat, that the next day, this sahabi keeps roza in this halat, he becomes weak. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he sends down the ayah, Uhilla lakum laylata siyami rafathu ila nisaikum, hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. Allah Rabbul Izzat makes takfif. And Allah Rabbul Izzat then brings about that the roza will start from the time of sehri. So that is this Allah that Allah had. This is the sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted us. And all this started from the day of Ashura. That this was the first roza. My respected and dear friends, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes to Medina, and after a while he hears that the Jews also fast on the day of Ashura, and when he inquired and they explained to him that it was because that Allah had granted Musa alayhi salatu wasalam emancipation from the clutches of Firaun, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had stated that if I live the next year, then we will fast for 2 days. Either the 9th and the 10th of Muharram, or the 10th and the 11th of Muharram. In this way, we will make tafriq. We will not follow the Jews even in our ibadat. We find that this is also a very important aspect of our deen. That not even in deen would we follow any other nation, any other community, but the deen of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To this extent, in Khasailun Nabawi, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah alayhi has stated that before Nubuwat, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go to the cave of Hira, and when he would make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the one hand, Allah had removed him from the heart of paganism, from Makkah Mukarrama, and Allah inspired him to go to the cave of Hira. On the other hand, Allah inspired him to make ibadat, the ibadat of Sayyidina Isa and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi wassalatu wassalam. That Allah did not tolerate his Nabi, even in his ibadat, that he begins to associate or he begins to imitate the kuffar of Makkah. To this extent, it comes in the kitabs of Sirat, that even the libas, the dress of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at the time when people of Makkah dressed as they were, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was inspired by Allah Ta'ala, and the libas and the dress of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was that of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasallam. There are many of us in this ummah that misunderstand this. We think that the libas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the clothes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was the clothes of the Arabs, which was customary at that time. That is not the truth. The truth was that his clothes was the clothes and the pattern of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. My respected and dear friends, may Allah Rabbul Izzat give us the tawfiq that not only in our ibadat, but in every aspect of our lives, we follow the tariqah and the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We leave the tariqah of the kuffar, the yahood and the nasara, in whichever aspect of our lives it may be. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that tomorrow, the day of Ashura and the roza of Ashura, Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, whoever fasts on this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his past your sins. So let us try and keep roza today if we had kept, and tomorrow or tomorrow and the following day, and fulfill this great sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. In conclusion, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala give us kamil understanding of his deen, inshallah. Hazrat Mawlana, dua for me. And make dua also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Hazrat Mawlana sihate kamila ajila, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers, mashallah, you have heard what the day of Ashura is and what the fazilat of shahadat is. All of us should be desirous of shahadat in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. However, the misunderstanding sometimes is this, that how are we all going to get shahadat? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made shahadat very easy. But there is no time now to go into the details. If I'm going to commence, then we'll take another 1 hour. So let me just leave you with whatever you have heard from Maulana, except that one thing comes to mind that Maulana mentioned, that Muharram, which is the starting point of our calendar, is a sacred month. My Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Ahmad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, in one beautiful couplet, he states, Jiske dil mein nahi hai tera dard o gham, Jiske dil mein nahi hai tera dard o gham, ho ke insaan nahi janwar se wo kam. Oh Allah, that heart which does not have your love in it, that heart which is not filled with your love, then that person, outwardly he may have the features of a human being. He has got eyes, he's got ears, he's got hands, he's got feet, he's got heart, liver and lungs. But not only animal, nay, he is even worse than an animal if he does not have your dard o gham in his heart. So he says, Jiske dil mein nahi hai tera dard o gham, ho ke insa nahi janwar se wo kam. So he says, that the ghair Muslims, the disbelievers, because they are janwars, therefore their calendar starts with January. Se wo janwar hai, to unki tariqh bhi January se shuru hoti hai. Aur Musalman jo hai, Muslim, he is sacred, Iman is a sacred thing, so therefore his calendar also begins with Muharram. So for us, the hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and all the other things, from everything we have to take a lesson. Shahadat for us is out on the streets, in the bazaars, in the marketplaces, in the schools, in the colleges. Everywhere we can get this sawab of shahadat. Shahadat-e-hukmi. The taqazas, as we always say, taqazas, the demands which come in our heart to commit sins. Then we take that sword and we strike it on the necks of those evil desires and let the blood of those evil desires flow. Inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, we will get the rewards of a shaheed. But of course, the haqiqi shahadat should be our tamanna of the heart, our desire of the heart. As again in a very beautiful couplet, and I will conclude on that, لذتِ ذکرِ نامِ خدا ہے چمن اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن لذتِ ذکرِ نامِ خدا ہے چمن اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن آپ کے نام پر جس نے ہجرت کیا Pagaya, wo bahare watan. Aapke naam par jisne hijrat kiya. Pagaya, wo bahare watan. Hey, zaruri gunaho ko bhi chhod de. Hey, zaruri gunaho ko bhi chhod de. اصل ہجرت نہیں صرف ترک وطن اے ضروری گناہوں کو بھی چھوڑ دے اصل ہجرت نہیں صرف ترک وطن It's extremely important that we give up the sins also of our lives. Just the leaving of one town and going away to another, leaving one country, going away to another, that is not hijrat. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us all with the tawfiq of developing in our hearts so much of His love that we see His hand behind everything. Once we are going to see His hand behind everything, then outwardly whatever our condition may be, but inside the heart we will find sukoon, peace, rahat. We will always look forward to meeting our Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We will not be disturbed with the conditions of the outside world. Whether it is poverty, whether it is sickness, whatever it is, we will make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created to alleviate that problem. But inside the heart, Allah Ta'ala will give sukoon. It will be like a flower that is blooming in the center of thorns. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. What can I do? It was the 10th of Muharram, which I can't forget. 4 years ago, while delivering the bayan here on the Fazilat of Ashura, it was the 10th of Muharram, and I had a heart attack, and I thought that that was the end of life. Then again, 2 years later, it was again Muharram. I think it was the 9th or 10th that I started getting sharp pains, and this year again, it's the Muharram. So I'm making dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because we learn that Qiyamah will take place on the 10th of Muharram. It's going to be a Friday. We don't know which Friday and which 10th of Muharram. But Qiyamah will come whenever it will come. But the day we die, our Qiyamah has begun. إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ So we should prepare for our Qiyamah, which we don't know when it is going to come. Suddenly, it just comes. People are leaving this world. May Allah Ta'ala give us a death on Iman. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما او مائی بیلوڈ اللہ فورگیو ایچ اینڈ ایوری ون اف اس او مائی رحیم اللہ او مائی کریم اللہ او مائی موسٹ فورگیونگ اللہ او مائی موسٹ مرسیفل اللہ او مائی موسٹ کمپیشنٹ اینڈ کائنڈ اللہ او مائی لوینگ اللہ فورگیو ایچ اینڈ ایوری ون اف اس وی آر ایکسٹریملی سنفل سروینٹس آف یورس فورگیو ایچ اینڈ ایوری ون اف اس O Allah, forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. O Allah, the entire ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going through turbulent times. In Palestine, in Kashmir, in Chechnya, in Bosnia. O my beloved Allah, when my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed of the condition of his ummah, how much of grief it must be causing him. That ummah for whom my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed everything. Oh Allah, that ummah is suffering all over the world. Oh my Allah, forgive each and every one of the ummah. Forgive each and every member of the ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, those who have got no iman, bless them with iman. Those who have been blessed with iman, give them istiqamat on iman. Oh Allah, those who have been blessed with iman, give them istiqamat of iman. Those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. Oh my beloved Allah, we are sick. Oh my beloved Allah, we are sick. We are spiritually sick and we are physically ill. Oh my beloved Allah, do not test us with sickness. Do not test us with poverty. Do not test us with weakness. We are extremely weak, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, change our conditions to good health. Oh my beloved Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them good health. Those who are in financial problems and difficulties, remove the financial problems and difficulties. Oh Allah, those who have got no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. Those whom you have blessed with children, oh Allah, make them obedient to you. Make them obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make them obedient to their parents. Oh Allah, those who have gone on to drink wine, women, drugs, and all other kinds of vices and evil, oh Allah, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Oh Allah, bless us all with prosperity. Bless us with happiness. Bless us with contentment. Bless us with satisfaction. Bless us with zuhad. Bless us with shukr. Bless us with taqwa. Bless us with sabr and shukr. Oh my Allah, fill our hearts with the noor of taqwa. Fill our hearts with the noor of iman. Connect us so firmly with you, oh my beloved Allah, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you for a single moment. Oh Allah, in the past, on the day of Ashura, you forgave nations. Oh Allah, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, one day we too have to leave this world. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyibah. Oh Allah, when the time of our death comes, let us be in Madina Tayyibah. At the rosa of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with a salatu was salamu alayka ya Rasulullah on our lips. Ay Allah, show us some tajalli at the time of our death, that our ruh and our soul comes dancing towards you and does not stay attached with the material world. Ya Allah, bless us with barakat in everything. Bless us with barakat in our businesses. Bless us with barakat in our homes. Bless us with barakat in our lives. Barakat in our time. Barakat in our wealth. Barakat in every ni'mat of yours. Oh Allah, because of our sins, do not snatch away the ni'mats from us. Because of our sins, do not snatch away the ni'mats from us. Ya Allah, make us of those that you are pleased with. My beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made so much of du'as for the ummah. All the du'as of goodness that he made for the ummah. Oh Allah, bless us with that goodness. Bless our parents with that goodness. Bless our wives and children with that goodness. Bless the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the fitnas and corruption and mischief that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection. Oh Allah, protect us. Protect our wives and children. Protect our brothers and sisters. Protect our parents. Protect the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those who have passed away, oh Allah, those who have lost their parents or brothers and sisters or children, or anyone in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who has passed away, fill their graves with noor. Fill their graves with noor. Bless them with the best of abode in the akhirat. And when our time comes to leave this world, let there be kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah on our lips. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.